Okay, take your Bibles now and turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, verse 1, is snow in summer, and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird be wandering, as the swallow be flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Notice the word fool again, and watch it as we come through. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise of his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God, give the unction, Lord, the words, the whatever's needed today, Lord, on this message here. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me to say things right, with the right heart, with the right spirit. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God would accomplish that which pleases you. I pray, Lord, the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God would not return void. I pray that, Lord, even that which has been read would accomplish, even now, and heretofore and ever after, would accomplish that which pleases you. May we not hinder the work of the Spirit of God. May the Spirit of God have liberty to run up and down these aisles and in every heart here. And may we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tom came to me before the service this morning. He says, I'm ready to hear. And I thought, that's good. That's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you and I to have, he wants not to have ears that are dull of hearing, but he wants you to have ears to hear. And you want to hear what God has for you in the Word of God. You want to pick up on everything that has been said. I don't have an idea what the Lord might have for you, but he may have the very thing that you need. So you want to always come ready to hear. Like the brother said, you want to come and you want to have ears to hear. God, I'm sure, I'm not going to let you down. And in the passage here in Proverbs chapter 26, I read about a fool, fool, fool. And nearly every verse, for 12 verses, he talks about the fool. In verse number 13, the picture changes over. And I guess you would call, without using the word fool, but he changes over to the slugger, the one who's slothful. And you read that all the way down through the rest of the chapter there. Primarily, so two parts there. One, the fool, and one who is foolish in being a sluggard or being slothful. But early on there, he talks about a fool, honor for a fool, the mouth of fools, honor to the fool, the mouth of fools, and so goes on. And he says, the Bible says in verse number 10, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Now, this is a time of the year whenever you would say that it's a time of reward. It's a time reward for the graduates in that they have labored for 12 years. They have worked for 12 years. They have completed a course of study, education, for 12 years. And this is a time in which they are rewarded. This is a time of the year whenever, you know, it finally pays off for them. They get their diploma, and they're sent out to this big, wide, wonderful world. And I say that with tongue in cheek. But anyhow, they get their reward. And they get the reward, and, you know, people give them a couple bucks here and a couple bucks there. And their reward for, you know, 12 years of labor and finally completing the course. But, you know, it's kind of a fleeting type of thing. Any reward you might have as far as the world's concerned, you could say it's on a fleeting side. You take, what do they have? They walk down the aisle and they get their diploma. I don't know where mine's at. I don't even know. I haven't known where it's at for a long, long, long time. I guess it doesn't really matter, does it? Not now, it don't, anyhow. I think I got one. I know I got one, but I don't know where it's at. And so that was a high time in my life. I can't even remember about it. Say, well, it's been a long time ago. It's been a little while back. And I really don't remember, except the fact that I did graduate TVHS, Timken Vocational High School. And, you know, time goes on, you know, have a graduation party for it. And another day, I got about 2 days of a reward for 12 years of work. Does that add up? I don't know if that adds up or not. But you know how the Lord is. The Lord, He makes up whatever the world doesn't have for you. The Lord, He kind of balances things out. And so I continually read in the Bible, and you always got to take the Bible to get it right. Never get it right without the Bible. I mean, I just can't tell you the time that I'm stunned, absolutely stunned, when I read the Word of God, and I say, the world, they don't have it right, man. They just don't have it right. They don't even have a clue. And in the Bible, it's the Lord who rewards every way. It's the Lord who made the vulture's eye. I come out to church, you know, and I see a dead groundhog. And all of a sudden I see a big old black bird, you know, perched right on top of that old dead groundhog in the road there, and then it takes off and away it goes and it flies away. And say, well, how'd that blackbird even crow or whatever it might be? How'd it even know where it was at? And everybody says, well, they have a, you know, the scent. No. In the Bible, it's that. It's as though they got eyes that you don't have. They have eyes and, well, Job chapter 28, verse number 7. Who made it? Who made eyes like that? So that here's that bird over here and sees it down there in the corner down there. And man, all of a sudden, zoom, right, I mean, right in on that thing and pecking away and eating away. And all you have is a carcass left by now. They got it. Cleaned it out. You know, they clean it out because sometimes their feathers are, instead of going like that, you know, like your hair and my hair goes back when I graduated. theirs goes the other way. Because it's just all ruffled up, you know, from, you know, digging inside that thing. Man, their hair's all, they don't care about it. They don't care if it stays ruffled up. They don't care if that old blood that, you know, they've got in just gets it all matted up and stuck up and goes the wrong way. It doesn't matter to them. But when you stop and think, how do they, you know, how do they keep the roads cleaned up? Their eyes. And who made their eyes? The Lord made their eyes. And if Lord made their eyes, I mean, obviously He's not blind. Obviously, it'd be like the Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And in Proverbs chapter 26 here, this is one side of it. I mean, you come all through the Bible and say, man, he rewards somebody for being steadfast. He rewards somebody for being separated. He rewards somebody for some time of service. He rewards somebody for being for stick-to-itiveness or stick to it. I don't know how to say it. You itness. I don't know how to say that. But it's as though, you know, somebody that's loyal, the Lord even rewards something like that, but the Lord sees it all. And the Bible says here in verse number 10, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. Then apparently it doesn't matter, either side of the coin, it's not winked at by the Lord. And those eyes that one that made the eyes of the vulture, those eyes that run to and fro in the earth, He sees it all, and He doesn't wink at it. He doesn't shut His eyes. He doesn't pass it by. He sees it all. And the Bible says He rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As I look at that, I think, you know, how that you and I live in a day and time in which you say, what are you talking about? The fool. The transgressors. You and I live in a day and time in which everything just kind of, it's melded together. You and I live in a day and time in which it's as though there is no such thing as the fool and the transgressor. There is in the Word of God. In the Word of God, you are looking at the fool, the fool, the fool, the fool, the fool, and the mouth of fools, and the fool and the transgressor, and God does make a distinction. But I would have to say that's virtually the Lord in Himself that does make the distinction at this time. You and I, we've come so far down the line, so far away from the Word of God that you and I, we don't even have a clue, you know. I mean, He rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Now, if you noticed, it was the mouth, the mouth, the mouth of the fool. And you know, you think about the mouth of a fool, and sometimes people say a lot of things that are crazy. And it makes you shudder to hear them say it. And you think, you know, it's almost scary for you to even hear some of the things they say. But out in the world, you're going to hear it. Getting around doing a little bit of witnessing, you're going to hear it. And the Bible calls it the mouth of a fool. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you read about the mouth of a fool. And the Bible says it's known by a multitude of words. They just don't shut up. You ever heard somebody described as a motor mouth? You ever hear somebody described as motor heads? That's Bob. Yes, they tell me. They got car shows all over town. They had a big one in downtown, I guess. And he said, I can't get nobody. All them motor heads are out to car shows. Tom, did you go? Frank, I know you went. You didn't go. Oh, man. He's repented. But probably in this crowd here, Carmi must have had something for him to do. She went one time, and she don't want to go again. She didn't even testify to that. But nonetheless, you know, you have people out there, and I'm telling you what, man, you have people that you just wait to get a word in edgewise. I mean, once they start, man, they are on and on and on and on and on and on. And I don't know if they think they're that interesting or what it is, but I mean that motor, it just runs and runs and runs and runs. And you can always see somebody standing there, and then finally they kind of get that chance, you know. They don't even try to say something. I mean, they just leave because my chance to go, man, I'm gone. And somebody else steps up there, and you watch it. Here we go, man, another 10, 15 minutes again. And they stand there, and you watch. They ain't saying anything. Nobody's talking. Well, I mean, it's a one-way street. And that's kind of a crazy thing, because in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. And but a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. A fool's voice is also known by being rash with his mouth. You say, well, what is that? What's described in the rest of the verse? That's Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 2. It's like being hasty with the mouth. Just, you know, not thinking. And just, you know, answering. Just saying. Just, you know, and they're rash. They say anything. I mean, just, you know, blurt something back. And that just, you know, it's a no-go with the Lord. And they're likened unto a fool. And the Bible says also in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you know, the fool, somebody doesn't fear God. Fear thou God. But fear thou God. They don't fear God. They don't care what they say. They don't care what they tell. They don't care who they tell. They don't care if they tell at all. They don't care who's hurt. They don't care how badly somebody's hurt. They don't care if they destroy somebody. They don't care if they wipe somebody out. They don't care. They're rash with their mouth. All they do is run it off and run off at the mouth. And that's the fool that doesn't fear God. Now, you know, the fool, God rewards the fool. And the fool's known by his mouth. And a fool's also known by his morals. And if you read the book of Proverbs there, you can see that there are some things that goes for male, for female. There are some things in the book of Proverbs there that are for the young. And there are some things for the old. But who cares? And God makes them so pointed you can't miss them. It's a thing as though man, I mean the Lord, I mean he comes on in there. And man, a target, I mean dead eye, I mean... it's like as though the arrow is right for your heart. And I mean, God doesn't miss. And the Lord, he's got stuff there for you. He's got stuff there for me. And yet it seems as though sometimes people pass it by as though, did you say something? Did you say something, Lord? I thought maybe I might have heard you say something. Well, you have to speak up because I don't hear very well and I'm going to do what I want to do. And sometimes it goes that way. And the fool is the one who not only runs off at the mouth, but he's the one who mocks and mocks at sin and thinks he can mock at anything when all the time he is the one who is being mocked. Don't know it. thinks he's laughing, thinks he's mocking, thinks he's, you know, whatever, he or she, and it doesn't matter. But no, they are kidding themselves. You cannot mock God. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. And the passage here, you can see that there is no doubt about it. That fool, I mean, he's got a mouth that just, you know, runs. And as well, from the book of Proverbs, you find out that there's the fool who, well, I don't know if you say the morals of an alley cat. I don't know what you'd call it. But the morals are sadly lacking according to the Word of God. And God doesn't wink at it. Like the world. Back in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 5. I want you to look at verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. And that's W-O-E. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You say, well, why? Answer is easy. Proverbs chapter 23, you're looking at sorrow, you're looking at contention, you're looking at redness of eyes, you're looking at troubles that all of a sudden appear out of nowhere. I mean, out of the clear blue, all of a sudden, somebody has got some W-O-E, they've got some woe. Say, is that right? Yeah, that's right. You know that. You believe that. Now, look at verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That don't fly either. You can't be wise in your own eyes. You got to be wise in the eyes of God. God's got to put something on you. You don't have it. You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. All right, back up another verse. 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Then if 22's right dead on, and you know it is. And 21 is right dead on, and you know it is. Then 20 is right dead on, and you know it is. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and darkness for light and light for darkness, and on it goes. And so, you know, you and I, we live in a day and time when things are just melded together, but not in the eyes of God. He rewardeth the fool, and he rewardeth the transgressors. Say, well, how? Well, in the Bible, Luke chapter number 12, it's what this world rejects. It's called corporal punishment. You know what corporal punishment is? Well, that's what Ted Henning used years ago to control machine shop at McKinley High School with all the wildcats at McKinley High School. It took him about one day to get that class in order. And Ted Henning was about the size of Ron Phillips, and he had a paddle that was about like that. It was about that wide. It was about 3/4 inch thick. And had holes drilled in it. And whenever he had a horse there, a sawhorse, and if somebody stepped out of line, he said, bend over that horse. And I'm telling you what, when he brought you up off that horse, I mean, you didn't just come up and say, I mean, you flew off that. I mean, up in the air they went. I saw white boys that could jump. You ever hear that? I mean, them white boys, oh, man. And that took care of it the rest of the year. You didn't want two times with that paddle from Ted Henning. That's called corporal punishment. That now, I mean, if they do it, oh, man, this school district, they allow corporal punishment. We're going to cut off all their funds, and they go nuts over that which works. Isn't that crazy? The thing that works, they cut it off. Watch what the Lord does. Go to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, and look at verse number, about verse 45. I think. That might be from Sunday school that I didn't get to. We'll see. 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten. Oh, what a word. Well, that's a Bible word. With many, not even one, stripes. Now, you know what that is? That's a reward. That's a reward for the transgressor. That's a reward for the fool. That's somebody just runs off at the mouth. That's somebody that has no morals. They just, you know, are going to do what they want to do, and they're going to let the flesh run them and say, you know, when to jump and how high to jump, and they don't have any morals. And one day they're going to get before the Lord, and they're going to get not one, but many stripes. And as I look at that, I think, I wouldn't go for that. I would not want to be rewarded with, I had one from Ted Henning, and I'm glad I didn't have two. I mean, if he said, go in the tool crib and, fold your hands and sit down, I went in the tool crib and folded my hands and sat down. And don't open your mouth for 45 minutes. I didn't open for 45 minutes. Whatever he said to do, man, I did it. But as I look at this, see, that'd be, that'd come under the heading of what you would call 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, next verse. Number 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know what I want to do to you? I want to persuade you today. I want to coax on you today. I want to beg with you today that you better watch your mouth and better watch your tongue. And not only that, I want to beg on you, watch your morals. Don't pick up the morals of the day. No matter what they don't have, they don't have any. But don't you pick up the morals of the day, lest you should be beaten with many stripes. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You ever hear somebody say, man, that guy's a holy terror? Why do they say that? Because that's the way to beat the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the way the Lord will handle it. It'll be holy, and it'll be a terror. Man, he's a holy terror. He will be. A holy terror. And so the Bible says he rewardeth. And I think, gee, that's strange. You never see that anymore. The great God, he's holy. The great God that formed all things, the vulture's eye, that formed all things, both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Transgressors. And the fool with his mouth, it's as though, you know, he just on and on and on and on. Doesn't care what he says or how he says or who he hurts or what he says about anybody, true or false. As though just idle words, so what? Do you ever have somebody, just curse up a blue streak? Say, well, I didn't mean nothing by that. But that don't fly before the Lord. With the Lord, it's every idle word. Men to give account there on the day of judgment. And so at that point in time, he's going to reward the fool and he's going to reward the transgressor. He's going to reward them for that which came out of their mouth and the hurtful things that have been said and the people they've hurt and different people they've hurt and the multitude of words that one has not sinned. So the fellow's a fool to just ramble on and on and on and on. You better set a watch upon the door of your mouth and pray about it. And the morals, this mocking at sin of our day and time, it's just not going to go. And the result will be not only stripes, it's going to be shame before him at his coming. It's going to be shame with the marriage of the Lamb. He says, friend, come up higher. You sit there, what about me? What about me? What about me? No, not you. Not you. Your seed is found, God. The reward of both the fool and the transgressor. And so you want to realize that, you know, this time of year is we're reminded of the rewards. And it is a time of year when teens are rewarded. Others are rewarded. All the sports now come to a conclusion this time of the year. You want to remember that the Lord as well has that day of reckoning, that time of reward. Fellow told me, he said, years ago, he said, we went to the state, and he said, told me some stories, and he said, for two laps, nobody could beat him. Only guy that could beat him in the state was the guy that actually won the state. But he wasn't a big guy, so after two laps, he began to bog down. And his tendency was always be that way, and the coach would always come by and squeeze on his shoulder. I don't know what that dude did. Tammy, squeeze on his shoulder and try it. I don't want to, I mean, squeeze on his shoulders. Get them shoulders up. And he'd get them up, and then he'd just go like that. But anyhow, for two laps, nobody could beat him. But by the time he made the turn into the third lap, he was beginning to bog down. So obviously where he was really an ace was in a relay team. And those two laps, he had to jump on the other team. This is a state now, like you would not believe. And when he went to, the other guy went to touch him and jumped in, he jumped in too quick and disqualified him. And on that team, there were some that won the 1,500-yard freestyle. There were, I think, another relay team maybe that won state. And they passed out the medals. And he said, I sat there and cried. I think nobody saw me, but I cried. Almost. So close. Should have got it. And sat there and watched others get it. Now, the Bible says he rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. And because of that, you want to be careful, watch your mouth, and you want to be careful, extremely careful, in the day and time. You must be careful to keep the flesh down and keep it subdued and keep it under. And you better be careful with your morals, every one of you, every last one of you, and myself as well. And you look at that verse, verse number 10. That's a startling verse. R.G. Lee is the old-time Southern Baptist preacher, and he had a message. Some of those guys, they have these outstanding messages. They preach them hundreds of times. I would imagine he probably preached it in maybe in the thousands. I heard Dr. Uckman talk about a message he preached 600 times when I was down there. So I'm sure that you're probably approaching 700,000-800,000 times by now. And R.G. Lee had this message. It's called Payday Someday. And I never heard it because the time that he preached it in this town, I was out preaching somewhere. I'd like to have heard it. I got a book that he wrote on the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's one of these guys that they could describe so vividly and flowery, and he's here, and I'm here. It's like totally different. I don't know how to do except, you know, I mean, my life was lived like Bob out in the field, and so all you know how to do is just tell it like it is. But he could use the adjectives, and he could describe everything so vividly, and he got this message called Payday Sunday. I don't know about it, but everybody, I mean, preach it. He preached it all across this country. Well, it looks like there is a payday someday for one and all. The fool and the transgressor. And that payday and that reward will stack up for 1,000 years. How it goes, it'll be at least 1,000 years. Imagine the millennial reign of Christ and being rewarded as a fool or transgressor. Talk about crying. Say, nobody saw me. They're going to see you. I mean, that's not what you want. That's not what God wants. But remember, I mean, he is a rewarder. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then he's also a rewarder not just of sin, but of steadfastness. And the antecedent has to do with Enoch, who's a type of you and I. He's walking along one day and he's gone. You say, well, he dropped into a pit. No. He didn't go down. He went up. He like you and I. He's a picture of the saint of God at the rapture. He's that picture in Genesis chapter 5, I mean, all of a sudden the Bible says God translated him and God took him out. And goodbye. He leaves it behind. I'm going to leave it all behind. That what the youth choir sings down in North Carolina? I'll leave it all behind. And Enoch is a type of that in Hebrews chapter 11. But what I like is it says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as I looked at, I look at Enoch, I think, that guy, if there's ever anybody called Steady Eddie, that was him. Because I read where he made 365 years before God, you know, took him out. And I don't know about the first 65. They're like vague. Nothing said. Nothing said to come, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 65 years of age. The wife bears him a son. And after that, it said he walked with God 300 years. God took him. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I don't know about before. All I know is that there came a point in his time whenever that break was made. There came a time whenever it's as though, and maybe he was good for, you know, before that. But all I know is at 65, that little baby boy is born. And thereafter, I mean, you talk about steady 300 years. You say, well, I get tired. Sure, who don't? That flesh will wear you out. That flesh is going to fight you. The world's going to fight you. The world's going to try to, you know, set the hook. I mean, it's all there. And so you do get weary. However, you want to remember that he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. And as you look at it, you think, if that guy did it, I can do it. If he could do it for 300 years, I don't have 3 years. I can do it. Is that not right? Here we are on overtime. Here we are only because of the long-suffering hand of God. And you and I are fixing to get raptured out of here just directly. And look at here. If he could handle 300 years, why can't you handle a little more? A little longer? I believe you can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 9, that he set his face steadfastly to go toward Jerusalem. Like a flint. Steadfastly. Well, let me ask you this. Did he get sidetracked? No, he didn't get sidetracked. You know what your problem is? You got 150 sidetracks out there. You're looking for the sidetrack. You're looking for some... The idea is, look, you determine in your heart, you fix your heart like David did, and you determine, brother, I'm going to do it. It may be a day after day thing, and I may not be the most spectacular thing in the world, but by the grace of God, I'm going to be steadfast, and I'm going to go out looking for a reward, if for nothing else. Just being steadfast like Enoch was steadfast and walked by faith and not by sight. And one day God took him. Paul admonishes the Christian, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Peter warns and he says, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. So you've got to be careful. I mean, there are people that they've done so well, and they've done well for 5, 10, 20 years. The next thing you say, no, no. What happened? Why? And they've fallen from that steadfastness. And you've got to be careful lest there's always going to be something out there to try to drag you down and to drag you away. Don't do it. Do not do it. And as I look at that, I think, Genesis 5, right before the flood, generally, 2,000 years from Adam to the flood, and 2,000 years from the flood to Christ, and 2,000 years from Lord Jesus to where we're at now, then all I've got to knock off in 6,000 years is the front 2,000 years, 4,000 years. And we're thinking of Enoch, 4,000 years later. You talk about a reward. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and look at verse number 5 with the right application. Not a JW application, a right application. For the living know that they shall die. I know that. That is, the rapture don't take place. But the dead know not anything. That may be true as far as the body. That's not true as far as the soul or the spirit. But the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward. Watch this. For the memory of them is forgotten. Did you ever read about stuff by these historians? And they go back and tell you stuff 1,200, 1,300 A.D.? And you try to get into it, but you can't get into it. And you hear this, you know, about Dionysius and Areopagus, and you say, well, which one's a city and which one's a, you know, and you kind of figure out what's going on, and but it's really hard to get into it. The memory of them is forgotten. And here's a fellow 4,000 years later. And you think of Enoch. Oh, man, I love to hear about Enoch. Hallelujah, man, I love to hear about Enoch. Glory to God. And 4,000 years later, you are a type of a man named Enoch of Genesis chapter number 5. And you should be a type of somebody who diligently sought the Lord, and God can reward you. I mean, if you go out before the rapture, God still reward your memory. He's a rewarder both ways. The fool and the transgressor. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I think to myself, boy, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to think how that here's a fellow that, as far as we know, not a whole lot said, except that he's after you. What else would you call it but steadfastness? 25 years ago, a fellow came to my house, and Don Ford is one of my best friends, and he later on got married about 5 years later, I guess, as I recall. Lisa knows. She was found some pictures the other night, and she was in the picture with John and Nadia. And he came to my house and had his new bride with him, and she's from California. She's from families from Russia, Paraguay, California. And John meets her, John marries her, and somehow or another his family's Middletown. He came back and came to my house, gave me a visit, knocked on, I mean, my front door right where I'm at today. I opened the door, there's open, there's my friend John McGraw and his wife. I want to introduce you to Nadia. And I said, this is Art Martin, he's steadfast. Two words. 25 years ago are as great as anything that's ever been said about me. The question is this. Could John McGraw bring Nadia over to my front porch, knock on my door today and say, that's that guy I introduced you to 25 years ago. He's still steadfast. And same goes for you. And we're just about out of here. And the Bible says, here's a guy, I mean, he was, I mean, just as steady as anybody has ever been, 300 years, and he walked with God 300 years, and God took him. Now, could he reward you for that? You don't have far to go. Don't flop out now. Don't fall apart now. If the brother could say that about me now and it be true, that's all I need. That'll get me by if one day the Lord would say that. This fellow wasn't the, or this, or this, or this, or this. But he was steadfast. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And I don't have anything over you, friend. I might have a different calling on my life, but I have nothing over you when it comes to this area. And the Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not only that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I read about how that there's going to come a judgment. And the Bible says that there's going to be a trial there. Some people have a whole lot to show, but it's soon to be history. It's going to go up in smoke. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says that, you know, if what they've got going abides the fire, there's going to be some suffer loss and some they're going to get a reward. And I read that word again. And I say, that's the Lord. He rewards the transgressor and the fool. And he rewards that one that's got something going and knows what separation's all about. And if they don't, I mean, they're going to find out what it's all about now. Now imagine that judgment. And think of all the people that have been saved from the cross of Calvary to the rapture. Say thousands. You're right, thousands. You read about Daniel chapter 7, verse number 9, the Bible says 10,000 times 10,000. Judgment was set in the books, was opened. All right, say 10,000. Or 10,000 times 10,000. When you think of every Christian, I mean all the way from the cross of Calvary all the way till the rapture, man, that's a lot of Christians. And imagine being somebody who has been able to stay separate from the world. Okay, it's this way. When I say that, the world's, it's waiting on you. It's waiting on me. And it's got a play designed for you and a play designed for me. And it's as though this world has its eye on you. It wants to know, well, how was it? Back in 1 Samuel 23, it was where his haunt is. Where does this fella hang out? Where's home base? Where's the hangout? Where's haunt is? And check him out where his lurking places are. And this world has its eye on where you spend your time. And the design and the desire of this world is to take you, if you're not saved, it wants to get you and keep you and send you to hell. But if you're saved, it knows it can't get your soul, so let's just ruin everything else. Let's go second best. Let's grab what's left. That's the world. And they want to get you and put you in a big old melting pot and make you, though you're saved, one of them. That's the design of this world. And as a result, you have Christians that you say, saved? Saved? Well, Galatians 5, maybe. The big time question mark. That's what this world wants to do. It wants to take you and stick you in a big old melting pot there and make you like them. That, now, here's the thing. Here's Israel. God was their king. And they said, we want to be like the nations of the world. We want a king like all the nations. We want to be like them. You know the Christians all over the world that are just like that? We want to be like them. We want to be like the world. That's how they are. And the world says, good, we want you. We'll take you. We'll ruin your testimony. We'll be glad to have you. Now that judgment, I mean, the Bible says it's either loss or it's going to be reward. And at that judgment, I mean, you're not going to be sorry if you fought the flesh, kept it under, and if you maintained separation from the world. The Bible says this, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? All right, now listen to the rest of the verse. That ain't the end. By whom this world is crucified unto me. Oh, I don't look at it the same as it did before I got saved. Right? Say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Art? You ought to know what I'm talking about. It looked, I mean, all the neon lights, I mean, they glittered bigger than ever. But now, they don't look the same to you anymore. After you get saved, you think, this world, and I unto it. And you don't look the same to them, or do you? Separation. As I look at that, I think, you know, 10,000 times 10,000. And Lord, taking you out and saying, this fella, what he did may not be the most of anybody, but it sure had something to it of what sort it is. And this gal, she had a relationship that carried through the day and into the night. Hidden things of darkness. Counsels of the heart. Reward for somebody like that. 10,000 times 10,000. And God calls you out and gives you a reward. They tell me down at Ohio State they're going to graduate 55,000 this year. That's wrong. When I say they, Shirley thought she read that. That couldn't possibly be right. You say, that is big, man. I got 120,000 something or other down there. Probably it's 5,500. It's not 500. 5,000, that's a possibility at OSU. That place is humongous. So we'll say 5,500. And I don't guess I went to the graduation. My sister graduated down there, but I went to one up here at Kent when I already graduated. And to be honest with you, I almost missed it. Man, they just run them through and run them through and run them through. And I mean, you know, they got separated. I don't care if they are. Architectural department, some other department, whatever else. It's still, I mean, there's such a ton of them that you almost miss it. You ever see them graduations? David Spear, you know what that family's like? Spear's mother is calling ours. And John is probably 6'3 or 4. David's what, 6'7, 6'8? And that family, John is one of the littlest boys. They're a couple smaller, but most of them were like that. I mean, it's big, big people. That's all they were. And yet, even when David graduated, they had some kind of special thing that to get his picture. How would you like to be one of those ones out of the thousands? 10,000 times 10,000. Not 5,500. 10,000. Not 55,000. 10,000 times 10,000. And the Lord said, you have lived separate from the world. I'm going to separate you now. Come up hither and get your reward. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And so the Lord, he's a reward of them that diligently seek him, steadfastness. He's a reward of them that will stay separate from the world. He will do that. He rewards somebody for their service. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 22, 3 and 4. In verse 24, he talks about the reward of the inheritance. Reward, there it is again. It has to do with the millennial inheritance. Millennial, 1,000 years. Inherit something, it'll be yours. It won't be Naboth's vineyard. It's got by hook or by crook. It'll be yours. You got it coming. God, give it to you. For 1,000 years. Isn't that something? 1,000 years. How do you figure that? Over your head again. Look at the number. How can you figure that? It has to for service. A reward for service. Not for somebody to get out there and do something, they're doing it for show. I had a fellow get mad at me not too awful long ago, 2-3 years ago. And then he was informed by another Christian, said, look, why are you mad at him? Well, he said this, or he didn't say this, or I don't know what I did wrong, but I did something wrong. And he said, who are you doing it for anyhow? You doing it for Art Martin? You doing it for the Lord? Well, I'm doing it for the Lord. Well, then so what? Bart Martin don't handle it right? What's it? I mean, no deal at all. And finally got the guy turned around thinking right. He was out here somewhere not thinking too well. And it's singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. You're not doing things for show. You just say, man, it's an opportunity. And I know opportunities. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. You ever have an opportunity and you think, but it's not golden. I'll wait till tomorrow to be golden tomorrow. And you never even have another opportunity. And then you get to live with blowing the opportunity that God gave you. And here's somebody, they look at what they can do for the Lord. It's just an opportunity of service for the Lord. That's all it is. I don't care if anybody sees it. I don't care whether they recognize it. It doesn't matter. If I'm missed down here, I'll not be missed over there. Now, you know and I know, the flesh gets weary in well-doing. And the flesh, you know, gets on the sluggish side. Well, yeah, like Phil said, let me talk to you and... when I first got saved, they're all wanting to, I'll give you a year. I'll give you a year and a half. I'll give you, talk to me, and I don't know what. They all had their, you know, time limitations as though, you're good for this shot, and that's the end of it. How about somebody who, they got a heart for the Lord, and so they're just looking forward to that day whenever they receive the reward of the inheritance. And they don't care if anybody else sees it until that time. They don't care if it's ever mentioned until that time. In fact, it'd be better off if it was not mentioned. All they care about, I have an opportunity. I'm going to cash in on the opportunity. And thank God it's Friday. One day, Friday's coming. What keeps you going when you're weary and tired? And you feel like, oh, my back. And you feel like, man, I lost 10 pounds this week. And you feel like as though, you know, man, you're just about sweat blood. And you keep on going because it's, hey, it's Thursday. Thursday afternoon. It's Thursday night. And Friday, just around the corner. And thank God for Friday, you know. I had a fellow who used to call every Friday was Good Friday to him. That's not bad. That's pretty good thinking. And as you look at that, you and I know, what are we dealing with? Thursday night? Thursday evening. Friday just about on us. Hallelujah, man. I'm glad I got a full paycheck coming. I can just make today. Well, same with you. Don't you realize? I mean, what you do for the Lord. And you know, you're right down to the wire now, and you're fixing to go on out and get your reward. Reading the paper about all them guys, they, you know, 30 and out, 40 and out, 45 years, or whatever all they had. Those guys from Timken's, and man, they're living fine. I heard of a guy that retired from one of them unions, and he gets $3,600 a month retirement pension. He's not even 60 years of age. I don't know. Could you live on that? $3,600 a month. That breaks down to what? $900 a week? I think I'd get by. I'd go to Best Burgers every day. I can stop in Olive Garden every once in a while. I mean, you get by on, something like that. You get by pretty easily. Well, that's what the Lord's going to do for you. The Lord's going to, going to reward your service. The Bible says the reward of the inheritance. Last of all, I want to talk to you about, and you have to make up the word. I'm making up this word, stick to you-itiveness. All right, now, I'm telling you big numbers, ain't I? 10,000 times 10,000. We're talking 300 years. We're talking about 1,000 years. We're talking about 4,000 years. I want to talk to you about 3,000 years. Here's a little old gal that had less than nothing going. She was Ruth the Moabitess. That'll push you back over 1,000 years before Christ. So a good 3,000 years ago. And things have befell that family there, her and mother-in-law said, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara. I'm a bitter woman. She tells Orpah, she says, go ahead and go back and make a life for yourself. And Ruth, you go with her. And Ruth says, I'm not going nowhere. And says, thy people should be my people. Thy God, my God. And whithersoever thou goest, I will go. I'm not going anywhere. And she held to it. She was loyal. Talk about loyalty. That's what you call a classic case of loyalty. So she went. That's all right. I'm not going anywhere. So you're just my mother-in-law. I'm still not going nowhere. I'll just hang tight with you. And 3,000 years this side of it. I was looking at Brother Pacheco the other night and Claudia, and she had little Luke, you know, run along her side there. And I looked, and I think that before I came in the church building there, I said, Benjamin, you better turn around. And he looked at me. He had little old Ruthie with him. And they were going, I don't know, they must have had some candy or something. And I think they're going under the shade tree there to eat it. And I come in and I say, Elizabeth, better go out there and find your sister and your brother there. Ruthie, she's out there. Ruthie. 3,000 years this side of it. I went and seen Don at the Altman North the other day, and I went to leave. Everything's fine and dandy. And there sits Willard and Ruth. my sister-in-law. And I talked to Willard, Ruth, for a little while, good while, until it was all said and done. 3,000 years! This, you know what that is? That's somebody who said, I'm going to stick with you. I'll stick with you. And did. That's what you call stick to it, to you it. You say it. I don't, you know, my mouth is not big enough to get up that big of a word out. So anyhow, say this sure is. Well, that's my excuse anyhow. But stop and think, you know, just for something like that, being loyal to the Lord, his work. And one day in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 12 said, be careful now. The Lord God of Israel in whom thou hast come to trust, like you and I, that he would give you a full reward. Reward. And what was she? She was a Moabitess. What was she? She was loyal. And may the Lord give you a full reward for your loyalty to the Word of God and to the work of God. And then I think as well, I think in 2 John chapter, how many chapters is that? 8. 9. I'm not talking about verses. And 2 John verse 8, same thing. It's like as though, stop your ears. Whenever they, you know, whenever they lie about the Lord, stop your ears. And look to yourselves that you receive a full reward. If they don't have the doctrine of Christ right, check them off. Meaning, I'll translate it all the way down. This will work. The NIV does not have the doctrine of Christ right. They have taken him lower than this platform, lower than this floor. They've taken him all the way down. Pay no attention to him. Don't listen to him, that you may receive a full reward. As I look at that, I think to myself, you be somebody that is able to stick with the real thing. A while back, a young man left. Some young men left this church. A young man said to me, I'm not going nowhere. I'm satisfied with what I hear. That's thinking right. That same young man said to me just a couple of months ago, they began digging over here. I said, well, hallelujah, we're going, you know, we'll have a dust bowl now. To which he said to me, that don't bother me if my car gets dust on it. I don't come to this church to look at cornfields. If I get a little dust on my car, so what? I come to this church for what I hear. That's called stick to it. Stick to you-itiveness. Thank God for somebody like that. Thank God for a young man that can think that well. Can you think that well? And if you do, the Bible says reward, full reward, full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel. As I think of that, I need to close now, but I think of, you know, how important it is that you and I look at things the Bible way. Our God's a rewarder. He rewardeth the fool and the transgressor. He rewardeth the one who's steadfast. He rewardeth the one who's separated. He rewardeth somebody for their service. And he rewardeth somebody for sticking with the real thing. Eyes are important. The reason some of them did it, the Bible says, having not received the promises, having seen them afar off. As I was waiting for Willard to go in, a lady was waiting to One of the workers at Altman North waiting to take somebody back, so I'm going to have eye surgery too. She's about 35 years of age. Said, are you going to have eye surgery? What are you going to have it for? Oh, she said, it's amazing what they can do now. She said, I can't see it far off. I've got to hold everything right up here like this. And they go in, and I don't know what they do. They go in and flatten it or round it or whatever. They just do it different ways. It's called, I don't know what they call it, some kind of surgery. Amazing what they can do. And I'll be able to see, not just up close, I'll be able to see it far off. Amazing what God can do so that you can see far off. John McDonald is a ball player for Cleveland Indians. They say in his fielding, he's a gold glove fielder. He has no bat. They said, you're 175 pounds, maybe. You need to beef up. Meaning puff up on steroids that way. And he said, no. He said, I have determined a long time ago that if I do it, I'm going to do it on my own. And number two, I'm not going to do it because I want to have healthy kids someday. And number three, I want to live to be 100. And I know that don't work. And number four, you still have to hit the ball no matter how big you are. Pretty good thinking. I say to myself, that's just all right. You got to have eyes to see afar off. I read a story, and I close with it, about... Oh, I can't forget. One of those Rothschilds. And this is years ago. And he went to a painter, and the painter's name, Ari Schaefer. Said, I need somebody to pose as a beggar. And you aren't a beggar. Rothschilds are not beggars, but you sure could make a good one. He said, give me a day. And he came back the next day to the studio, and he had rags. Here's one of the wealthiest guys in France, and he's got, tattered rags on. He sat down and said, you make a good beggar. And so he began to paint, and as he was painting, some guy came in and saw the beggar, the rags. And he felt so sorry for him, reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a goid. that's like dearth, death on earth, amalgamation. That's gold coin, goid. he had this gold coin, he gave it to Rothschild, and Rothschild took it. Say, what a greedy guy. And he took the gold coin, and he left, and the guy got done with the painting and all, and years came and years went, about 10. And after about 10 years, Rothschild goes to his friend Schaefer and he says, that fellow that was in here, his name was, do I have it right? You got it right. Said, he lives there. He said, I'm going to look him up. And Rothschild went and dumped in his lap 10,000 francs. It's as though you gave me that one gold coin 10 years ago. I've invested it with others. I made a lot of money on it. And here's your return. That's the way the Lord is. You got one thing going? Let me have it. I'm going to pay you back in the thousands in just a little short while. He's a rewarder of sin. He's a rewarder of steadfastness. He's a rewarder of separation. He's a rewarder of service. And he's a rewarder of stick-to-itiveness. And as I think, I think of how Moses, and it was Moses who, the Bible says, when he was come to years, he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction and people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he had respect unto the could have the treasures of Egypt, the women of Egypt. The world was at his disposal. And he said he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. How about you? It's there for the taking. I think that young man had his head on straight. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It'll be thousands of times over and for thousands of years and even forevermore do you. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God, that your blessing be upon what has been said. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would use this morning's message. Speak to every heart. May these youngsters be challenged here. And may each one of us one day receive a reward, a full reward, from the Lord God of Israel, from you, Lord, for being as Moses, sensible, and going for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.